are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Monday, everybody. Today, we're going to get right into a pair of disappointing results for the Timberwolves from over the weekend. We'll spend our first segment talking about Friday's loss to the Magic in Orlando. Then we'll spend the rest of the show discussing Wolves-Mavs and studs and duds from Sunday's home loss to the Mavericks. While both losses were bad, they were definitely bad in entirely different ways, so we'll get into that here in a moment. First, a quick reminder to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, at LockedOnTWolves. That's at LockedOnTWolves. Don't forget the T. You might recall that last Wednesday in Miami, the Timberwolves played stout defense on the stretch of a close game and did just enough on offense to win. It certainly feels like eons ago. On Friday in Orlando, the Timberwolves played little to no defense at all, and the offense was generally quite good. In Friday morning's preview show, I talked about the Magic's struggling offense so far this season. As it turned out, Orlando scored a season-high 136 points with ease against a hapless Wolves defense. Making matters worse was the Wolves' feeble attempt at rebounding. They were out-rebounded by a 54-33 margin in the game against the Magic on Friday night. The game was tied after the first quarter. The Wolves were down by just four at halftime. The third quarter was close. The Wolves were in this game until they weren't, really. I guess until midway through, kind of late in the third quarter, D'Angelo Russell headed to the bench. D'Lo had scored 18 points in the first half of the game. He had been scorching hot. And then when he headed to the bench with 2:11 left on the clock in the third quarter, the Wolves were down by only 2 points, by 97-95 score. He came back in the game with just over 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. It was a 117-103 game. Doing the quick math for you, that's a 22-6 run with Russell on the bench from 2 minutes left in the third to 8 minutes left in the fourth. So over the span of roughly 6 minutes of gameplay, 22-6 run with Russell on the bench. It was basically over by the time he came back into the game, down 14 with 8 minutes left. Of course, the Wolves did win a more impressive comeback not that long ago, but against the Heat, that was just 12 points with a few minutes left. But still, all the momentum was in the Magic's favor. The game was in Orlando. It just didn't really feel like a realistic comeback was on tap for the Wolves. And also, I mean, Russell had 18 at halftime. He only finished the game with 28. So, I mean, he had a good second half, but he wasn't quite as efficient as he was early in the game. This game was basically, it boiled down to no defense from the Wolves, period. Full stop. Anybody on this team, nobody really played defense. I guess you could argue Josh Okogie's always a pretty good defender. He always tries, and he's always pretty effective. But other than that, there was no defense. The other thing to take away from this game was just how bad the bench was. Four of the five starters had a positive plus-minus. Okogie led the way with a plus 15. Russell, Juancho Hernangómez, and Naz Reid were all kind of in the same neighborhood. Malik Beasley was a minus 9. He really struggled. It was the first of two straight games now that he struggled. We'll talk about that when we get to, I guess, spoiler alert, studs and duds from Sunday's loss to Dallas. But the entire bench was in the double-digit negatives. Of course, being the bench, they play less minutes collectively than the starters, and they were in the double-digit negatives in a game that the Wolves lost. The worst was Jarrett Culver. He was a minus 23. Keelan Martin was a minus 18 in just 11 minutes, I guess 12 minutes. James Johnson was a minus 17. Johnson had a nice stat line. He scored 17 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He did have 3 turnovers and committed 5 fouls in 26 minutes, though. Shot 8 of 10 from the floor. A really polarizing stat line. And if you watch the game, it didn't feel like he was quite as effective as his stat line suggests. And it makes sense to me why he'd be a minus 17. The 3 turnovers were pretty ugly. The 5 personal fouls is a lot in 26 minutes from a veteran guy. But all things considered, the story here, besides the lack of defense, is the lack of a bench that the Wolves brought to the table. There's been a handful of games, not even a handful, maybe 2 games since D'Angelo Russell's joined the team, where Jordan McLaughlin's clearly outperformed him from a plus-minus perspective, and it hasn't been close. Again, single-game plus-minus, plenty of noise there, but still significant, and also considering some of the on-off numbers from Russell's career to this point. But in this game, Russell was the best player on the floor for the Wolves, and it was not close. It was pretty obvious who the best player was. We're not going to do studs and duds from Friday's game because we have Sundays to talk about still. But Juancho had 18 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, a couple steals. It was his best all-around game as a Timberwolves player. He was a plus 9, as I mentioned. 4 of 8 beyond the arc, 2 of 3 inside the arc, 2 of 2 at the free throw line. Just a good all-around game from Juancho. The Wolves did get 14-5-4 from Josh Okogie, who had a solid all-around game. But again, the bench was nothing to write home about, and the defense was atrocious, really from start to finish in this game. So kind of the flip of the game against Miami when the Wolves were down and came back late on the heel on the backs of their defense, I should say. But in this game, they were in it for most of it until the defense just completely collapsed. And remember, this is an Orlando team that's not super efficient. They're not a terribly effective offensive team at all. So this was a really disappointing performance for the Wolves just 48 hours after a wonderful performance in Miami. All right, next up, we're going to talk about the game against the Mavericks on Sunday. We will do studs and duds for that game kind of go in depth about what went down that was not good in one of the least competitive games we've seen the Wolves have in a little while. All right, let's talk Wolves-Mavericks. This was a 2:30 p.m. matinee on Sunday, which is always makes for a sleepy time at Target Center. This is like, I think, the third of these that the Wolves have hosted at home at Target Center this year. The Mavericks, this is also another one-game homestand for the Wolves after coming off of that southern swing, the Florida, the two games in Florida on Wednesday and Friday of last week, back home for just one game, a matinee at Target Center. Luka Doncic was not available, had a sprained thumb. He'd injured the last time out, so he was not available to play in this game. So you might think the Wolves would have a shot. Unfortunately, that was not the case. They were behind basically from the start, and Kristaps Porzingis was entirely impossible to stop. Seth Curry got hot for a stretch. The Mavericks actually only had 14 bench points in this game, but it didn't matter because of just how good Kristaps Porzingis was, Seth Curry as well, and then Tim Hardaway Jr. actually had a pretty good game as well. So we'll get into all that here in a moment. The Wolves, I guess the story, the headline here is they couldn't score. D'Angelo Russell was their leading scorer with 16 points. The Wolves scored 91 points on the night, which I didn't go back and look at this, but it's got to be about their lowest scoring game of the season. And remember, this is a team, they scored 125 in a loss to the Magic on Friday. They beat the Heat, outscored them at the end of the game last Wednesday. Even without Karl Anthony Towns, this is a pretty good offense that the Timberwolves have. So this was an alarming performance from an offensive perspective. To start the game, the Wolves were actually in it early. At least it felt that way. They were only down 4 at the end of the first quarter, and they would have been ahead, except for the free throw shooting was atrocious. In the first half as a whole, the Wolves shot 6 of 13 from the free throw line. If you're scoring at home, that's worse than 50%. They only attempted 2 free throws in the entire second half of this game, which partly was due to awful officiating, partly was due to a lack of aggressiveness. And, you know, just, I mean, it's typical now for the Wolves to shoot more than 40 threes a game, I should say. And that's not a bad thing, but they also weren't getting in the free throw line, which typically they do. So it was partly officiating, partly the Wolves not being aggressive, partly the Mavs not wanting to foul in a game they were up by double digits in the second half. But the Wolves were 6 of 13 in the first half from the free throw line, 0 of 2 in the second half, 6 of 15 total for the game. That's 40% on free throw attempts. In this game, an NBA team shot 40% from the free throw line in a game, and Shaq and DeAndre Jordan and those guys were not part of this performance at all. The key offenders there, Juancho Hernangómez 0 for 3, Jordan McLaughlin 2 for 4, Naz Reid 1 for 2, Jarrett Culver 0 for 1, Jake Lehman 1 for 2. Everybody that attempted a free throw missed at least one for the Wolves. So just that was the biggest issue early. The defense wasn't great, but it was at least somewhat competitive. The Wolves were still playing hard. The bigger issue was the free throw shooting. And also, I was worried about rebounding coming into this game. I mentioned that briefly on Friday, on Friday's episode. The Wolves actually, overall for this game, out-rebounded the Mavs 57-56, so by the slimmest of margins. But that didn't really matter. The Mavericks pulled down 14 offensive, excuse me, the Wolves pulled down 14 offensive rebounds, but they couldn't score off of those. The second chance points were not good. The Wolves missed plenty of shots in the paint, which was the secondary issue to the missed free throws. Hernangómez missed a couple early in the game. Naz Reid missed several in the paint. He was bothered by the length of Kristaps Porzingis, and really, who isn't? But Naz really needs to, if he's going to play center in this league, if he's going to be Towns' backup center moving forward, for instance, he's got to score in the paint. And to this point, Naz has done better. He's got good touch around the rim, but he really struggled in this game. And then the Wolves guards, when they got into the paint, couldn't really score. D'Angelo Russell didn't really want to go in there. He attempted 18 shots. Half of them were three-pointers. He only attempted 3 free throws. Malik Beasley attempted 15 shots. 9 of those were three-pointers. And the Wolves did not make an effort to get into the paint. The guys that did couldn't finish at the rim. Jake Lehman missed a couple. Keelan Martin missed a couple. The aggressiveness was okay. It was the finishing that was just not where it needed to be for the Timberwolves. And that was the biggest issue. The Wolves hung around. They actually made a push in the second quarter and got within, I think they got within like 11 points with a few minutes left in the second quarter and went on a little bit of a run. Then the Mavs pushed back down the stretch of the first half and really just used this last second run second quarter to take a significant lead at halftime. In fact, let's see, the Mavs were up 19 at halftime. And then it was the third quarter. The Wolves actually used a 12-2 run. So the Wolves were actually only down 13 points in the third quarter. It felt like it was over at the end of the first half, but then the Wolves got within 12-2 run in the middle stages of the third quarter. Then on the last possession of the frame, Keelan Martin fouled Kristaps Porzingis on a 3-point attempt. There was 0.4 seconds on the clock. Porzingis made all three free throws and the lead was back to 16 at the end of the third quarter. And that was basically it. The Mavs, continued to pull away. The Wolves never really got closer than 12 or 13 points in the fourth, and that was basically it. Again, the Wolves competed defensively, giving up 111 to Dallas isn't the worst thing in the world, but the fact that Kristaps Porzingis was able to score 38 and have 13 rebounds, 6 of 14 shooting, the Wolves somehow were not understanding that they needed to guard him at the top of the key, at the top of the three-point arc, which is also Karl Anthony Towns' favorite three-point shot. Kristaps has unlimited range at that point on the floor, and the Wolves could not seem to figure that out and really struggled in trying to stop him. They really didn't try and stop him from that spot on the floor, and that was a huge issue. Seth Curry got hot in the second quarter, third quarter as well. Second quarter especially is when he did a lot of damage. He finished with 27 points, 4 assists, 11 of 17 shooting, 3 of 7 on 3-point attempts. He only attempted 4 free throws and had just 1 rebound, but he's a shooter, and that's what he did in this game, was really effective. Dorian Finney-Smith was impressive defensively for the Mavericks and really helped shut down the Wolves' perimeter game. And again, the Wolves' offense was just bad. It was sloppy. They weren't making shots inside. They weren't making free throws. They weren't getting to the free throw line. Just not a good all-around performance from the Timberwolves, unfortunately. All right, next up, we are going to talk studs and duds from this game. Who had the best game for the Wolves? Who had the worst game? They're easier to find duds for this one, I guess, than studs, but we're going to talk through it. We're also going to peek ahead at the rest of the week. Obviously, Tuesday's episode will preview the game on Tuesday night, but I wanted to peek ahead and look at the upcoming schedule here for the rest of the week. All right, talking studs and duds from Wolves Mavs on Sunday. Really hard to come up with studs for this one. We're kind of, I'm going to be exaggerating a little bit here. I also write player grades, which is a little bit less in depth, a little bit higher level and stat line specific on Dunking with Wolves, where I'm one of the co-editors. But I don't think anybody got above an A- in this game for me, and that was a stretch. That was Josh Okogie. He was easily the best player on the floor for the Wolves. He was solid really for a second straight game. He only had 9 points and 6 rebounds, but he was 4 of 8 shooting, made 1 of 2 3-point attempts, scored the Wolves' first 5 points in the third quarter when they had already gone 4 minutes. The first 4 minutes of the second half, the Wolves couldn't score. Okogie scored a quick 5, provided a spark, helped spur that 12-2 run. The Wolves went on to get them within 13. So props to Josh Okogie for actually playing really hard, competing defensively, and being the Wolves' best all-around player. And again, it wasn't particularly close. You look at beyond the A- on the Wolves, and there really isn't much else positive to talk about. I always try and do 3 studs. I'll for sure get 2 for today. We'll give Jarrett Culver 1. He hasn't been on the right side of this ledger very much of late. He's been a negative, or a dud a lot recently. Culver, I did give a B+ over at Dunkey with Wolves. He was the only bench player that had more than 6 points in this game, actually total for the game. I mentioned the Mavs bench didn't do much either. They didn't have anyone score more than 4 individually. Culver had 12 in this game for the Wolves. He shot 5 of 10, 2 of 4 from beyond the arc, which is great for him. 12 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists and a steal, 0 turnovers, only 1 foul committed, and had a couple of opportunities where he could have gotten to the free throw line, but got kind of a raw deal at the rim. Not that he's still shooting right around 50% from the free throw line anyways this year, but overall a good game from Culver. Good to see him play well. There were a couple of plays really close together in the first half where Culver actually penetrated into the lane and dropped off a pass to a cutter. One was a dunk. I can't remember who it was. I think Lehman was a beneficiary once. There were a couple of plays that were real. They might have even been back-to-back possessions, but in kind of the same stretch of the game. In the second quarter, when Culver played extremely well in terms of distributing the ball on offense and looking to do to do more than just, you know, shoot a three or get to the rim, but was really looking to distribute. And we didn't see a lot of that even when he was basically running the point early in the season. So it was really refreshing to see Culver do that as a, you know, essentially an off-ball guard in this game and be able to operate in that way. So good game from Culver. Really good to see that. If I had to pick a third star, I would go with D'Angelo Russell simply because he was so involved in everything and all around was pretty good. He just wasn't efficient. He had four turnovers that were ugly, but he did have 16 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. 6 of 18 shooting is not great. 2 of 9 from beyond the arc is not great. But he was active. The rebounds and assists were there. He competed defensively. And I guess he gets the third star in this one, as much as I hate to hand one out. In terms of duds, this was a lot easier. We'll go with Malik Beasley. This is his second straight game when he really struggled. Beasley had 14 points, 3 rebounds, an assist, a steal in 30 minutes. 3 rebounds in 30 minutes isn't great. 5 of 15 shooting is not great. 4 of 9 from beyond the arc is okay, but that means he was 1 of 6 from inside the arc, and he didn't get any free throw attempts. Part of that, again, officiating. The Wolves definitely should have attempted more than 15 free throws. I'm not sure it would have mattered given that they shot 40% from the line. But Beasley deserved a little bit of a better fade at the rim. He was at least trying a little bit, but he's got to finish better, even through contact. And, you know, the one turnover is okay, but the Wolves just need more than 14 points and 3 rebounds out of Beasley when Karl Anthony Towns isn't going to play. And when Russell's going to only score 16, they need Beasley to do a little bit more. So that was a little bit disappointing. The last dud we're going to give, once again, to Naz Reid. I feel like he's been on this list a lot lately, but he's been exposed a little bit in trying to cover some of Karl Anthony Towns' minutes of late. Naz has had 9 points and 12 rebounds, which was good. The 12 rebounds were good, and he competed there. 5 of them were offensive, though. He shot only 4 of 13 from the floor. He only attempted 2 threes in this game, so it wasn't just launching and missing a bunch of threes. It was going 4 of 11 inside the arc, and a lot of that, really all of it, I guess, in the paint. He doesn't shoot anything but shots in the paint if they're not three-pointers, which is good, but he's got to make them. And he struggled with Porzingis' length. He struggled with Maxi Kleber a little bit as well when he was in the game. And 9 and 12 doesn't look awful until you realize that he was on the court for 27 minutes, ran with the starters, and really struggled in the paint. His plus-minus was a +1, but that's a perfect case of it being a little bit misleading, as he really did struggle in the paint. And makes you wonder, when he's the only big man on the floor, essentially, him and Hernan Gomez, what his future looks like as a big man in the NBA if he can't rebound a little bit of a higher rate more consistently. But we'll see. Again, 12 rebounds in 27 minutes. It's hard to complain too much. It's just the finishing at the rim was the bigger issue. And also, he only had the 7 defensive rebounds in 27 minutes as well. Putting a bow on this game, it was just a matter of the Mavs are a better team, even without Luka Doncic, and the Wolves had an off night offensively. They should have been in this game like they were against the Magic, like they were against the Heat before they ultimately won that game, just simply because D'Angelo Russell was arguably still, you know, the best player on the floor. I mean, Kristaps Porzingis, D'Angelo Russell, I mean, they're both kind of borderline all-star players. But Russell had a bad game. The Wolves overall had a bad game, and it's a Sunday matinee, and all those things kind of conspired to create the worst of all worlds for the Timberwolves in what was definitely an uninspiring performance. All right, the Wolves head immediately back out on the road after their patented one-game homestand that they had on Sunday. It seems like they always have tons of these, and this year is no exception. But the Wolves will be in New Orleans on Tuesday to take on the Pelicans. As of right now, the Pelicans are an 11.5-point favorite in this game. Of course, they're just a 26-win team, but a lot more fun now, given Zion Williamson's presence. So the Wolves will be in New Orleans on Tuesday. Then they'll have the Bulls on Wednesday in a back-to-back. And that is back in Minnesota, actually. The Timberwolves will head back home to take on Chicago Wednesday night. So this is actually a one-game homestand and then a one-game road trip for the Wolves back-to-back, which is great. The next 4 games, though, are against non-playoff teams, or I should say teams under 500. The Pelicans twice, the Magic and the Bulls. The Magic will likely make the playoffs, but are under 500. The Bulls have 20 wins. Pelicans have 26. They get them twice. And then things get tougher again after that. Rockets, Thunder, Spurs, Trailblazers immediately following that easier 4-game stretch. So here's hoping for a win or two, hoping we get some news on Towns here in the next week or so, which would be about, you know, beginning of next week, would be about that 2-week timeline that we heard from the Timberwolves for more information. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that. And, you know, we'll have plenty of time to talk about it here at Locked On Wolves. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.